come and fill his pulpit. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, brother. I do my best. Of course, we want to do our best for Jesus. Now, we're going to be in 1 Chronicles. I'll give you a moment or two to turn there. Probably not heard a lot of sermons from Chronicles, but that's all right. We'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 9. While you're turning, I'll let you know my head cold is back with a vengeance. I thought I was over it, but I've got some thickness in the back of my throat, and my right ear is just ringing. But it rings all the time, so I can't hear myself. So if I get, I tend to be soft-spoken anyway, so if I get too low, well, somebody just go like this, and I'll, Brother White, I'm going to charge you, okay? If I get too low, you do this, and I'll get louder. Right. Now, if I get too loud, well, nothing you can do about it, because when a Baptist preacher wants to shout, he's going to shout, amen? So there's nothing you can do about that. But if I get too low, go like this. You got it? All right. 1 Chronicles, and there is no way I'm going to read in Chronicles, and you're going to read with me. I can't even read these names myself. But we'll go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 9, verse number 1. And all Israel reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel, and Judah, who was carried away to Babylon for their transgression. Now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possessions in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the Nethinims. And I want to drop down to verse 13. We're not going to read these names, I'm sorry. Okay. And their brethren, heads of the house of their fathers, 1,703, very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Now focus on that last part of that sentence there, verse 13. Very able men for the work of the service of the house of our God. And let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Lord, I do need your help, and I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of the people this night. Father, I literally have nothing to set before your people. But I pray, God, that you would take this message and that you would use it to do a movement in each of our hearts, especially mine, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'd anoint me and fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me to preach your word in truth. And then, Lord, I pray for the folks, God, Father God, that you would give them the Spirit, that we might hear what the Spirit has to say to us this night. Father, in all things, primarily, Lord, what I want more than anything else is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted in our hearts and in our lives, and glorified in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I said, alluded to earlier, you don't hear a lot from the genealogies. And I know nobody really likes reading these long lists of names that you can't pronounce either. And but I do not recommend the genealogies for new converts. If you win somebody to the Lord this weekend, Brother White, don't have that gentleman start reading 1 Chronicles right off the bat, okay? Just don't do that. I don't recommend it. Now, that being said, we have to remember something. Who put the genealogies in the Bible? God. So God put them in there, and he must have had a reason for it. Amen? So it's up to us to search all the scriptures, including the genealogies when we get to them, and look for what I call jewels in the genealogy. We're going to look for a truth in here that we can pull out, that we can apply to our life. God had to have a purpose for putting them in his book. I used to think the main reason, or maybe the only reason that God put the genealogies in the Bible was to give me patience. I really did. For the longest time, I thought that. Now, that might be a part of the reason. I do not know. But this much I do know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work.
Right.
And God put this in here, and it is profitable for us. I don't know what the profit is in all things, but over the years, as I've read the genealogies, and as I've read Leviticus, another book people don't like, I have discovered truths in there. And I just want to share one simple one with you tonight. By the way, just for your information, you know the book of Matthew alone, just Matthew, quotes Leviticus and 1 and 2 Chronicles 33 times. Now, there's only 28 chapters. There's a lot of quoting going on. And that's the number of times that he's quoted, in, or these books are quoted. That's not the number of verses, because sometimes there's multiple verses.
That's right.
So evidently, God has a purpose. I know this from, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. I'm just laying some groundwork here from you. I get a little weary of folks who think the Old Testament doesn't apply. Now, we're not under the Levitical law. We know that. But there are truths in here that are for us today. God put them in the Bible for a reason. And when he put them in there thousands of years ago, they were for us to learn. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 11. And the Bible says, now all these things happen unto them for examples. And if you go back at the start of the chapter 10, you can see it, we're talking about Moses and dealings with God's dealings with the nation of Israel in the wilderness wanderings when they came out of Egypt. All the things that happened to them. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for who? Our. That's you and me. For our admonition. In other words, what happened in the Old Testament, God put it in the Old Testament for our benefit, and that would include the genealogies. Amen. And so they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So God has something for us in every portion of Scriptures, including these jewels and the genealogy. I gave the men this outline, a very simple outline from what I'm going to preach on tonight. And that's a three-point outline. One, the men. We'll look at who these men were that we're going to talk about in a moment. Of course, the application will be to us, won't it? But the men, okay? And then two, the ministry. And then point three, the mission. The mission. So the men, the ministry, the mission. In going back to our text verse, 1 Chronicles 9:13, it says that these were very able men for the service of the house of God. Very able men. These men were trained to do God's work. Amen. Almost from birth. Folks, there is much work in the ministry that needs done. Every church in America, indeed every church in the world, has the same problem. They don't have enough workers.
Amen.
How do you know this? Because Jesus had the same problem.
Amen.
It was Jesus who said, you know, hey, guys, go out here, look at the field. They're white unto harvest. But the laborers are few. And so we lack workers. And so what we need is workers in the church to do God's work. The harvest truly is plenteous, but laborers are few. And my desire tonight is to encourage somebody out there that you just raise your hand, figuratively speaking. Raise your hand to God. Say, God, here am I. Send me. You need somebody to go out visiting? I'll go. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll go. Whatever you want me to do. You need somebody to do some work around the church? I'll do it. Just volunteer to do anything for God.
Amen.
These men were very able, very able. So they were trained men. They see, God needs laborers, but he needs able, very able laborers. He needs people who are trained. Now, if you have no training, you know, a brand new convert can win somebody to faith in Christ. I remember winning one person to the Lord before I even heard of this thing called soul winning. I didn't know anything about the Bible except this, how to be saved. Why? Because it happened to me.
That's right.
And I won a person of the Lord using one Bible verse, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I explained what happened to me, how I learned that I was a sinner, and how Jesus died for my sins, and that by faith in Jesus Christ, I could go to heaven, and I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And would you like to put your faith in Jesus Christ? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that person got saved. Now, one person, wow, big deal, over, you know, 5 years, and won one person the Lord. Well, that's one more person isn't going to hell.
That's right. Amen.
And you can do that. Amen. You all have a testimony. If you don't, you need to get a testimony.
That's right.
You may not know any Bible, but you know how to be saved because you are saved. Now, if you don't know how to be saved, then you're not saved, and you need to see preacher right after church tonight. Amen. Amen? So we all have a testimony. We don't have to be trained up to begin, but we need to be trained to be more effective. And as time goes on, the Bible says, he that waters shall also himself be watered. What does that mean? As I water, the Bible talks about sowing, some plant, some water, God gives the increase, amen. I've never won a soul to Christ. You know that, preacher?
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus has a few through me, but I never, because it's God who wins them. But as we water, we catch some of that spray back on us, I guess, because as we share what we know and we're put in situations where we have to be, where we're asked questions and we don't know, what do? We go back to get the answers so we come back and share them later, and we grow thereby. I remember going sowing very early in my life. I was a young man, and I had a Bible verse I wanted to share with somebody, and it was in the book of Hebrews, and I just, I was so frustrated because I didn't have the whole Bible. All I had was the New Testament. Let that sink in there. The book of Hebrews. I thought it was in the Old Testament. That's how much Bible I knew. But over time, you just go and do your best, get some help, get some training, and God can use you. God wants us to see that these 1,760 men were very able men. They were trained. It's kind of like in our day, we don't have so much of this, but it used to be if a man was a carpenter, you know what his son would be? A carpenter, okay? I grew up with a kid. His dad owned a cabinet shop. You know what he makes? Cabinets. If your dad was a farmer, odds are you would be a farmer. And so you were trained in the family business in these days. Now, these men were, as we saw in our text, go back to First Chronicles. It says in verse number 2, well, focus on the priests, the Levites. The priests and the Levites. So, it sounds like there's two groups there, but you got to understand something. Well, there are, but the priests were Levites. Levi was a priestly crowd, and the priests came out of the tribe of Levi. But everybody in the family of the tribe of Levi, according to who their father was, had a distinct job to do.
That's right.
You read in the Bible. Did anybody ever get in trouble for trying to move an ark without letting the Levites carry it on their shoulders? Ask David about that, or Uzzah better, okay? Yeah, people got into trouble all the time. What about the king when he... Saul, when he entered into giving an offering, that wasn't his job. He got in lots of trouble with the Lord for that. And so the Levites had distinct jobs. Now, I didn't look up the names of the different families. It'd be like a clan, okay? So we have the tribe of Levi, and then they'd come down. They didn't all have just one son, you know. They weren't all, you know. What happened is a clan would develop, and so they'd have a head of that clan. And so each of these clans then would have a distinct job. Some would care for the furnitures. Some would care for the tent. Some would assist the priest in the actual work of the offering. And if the priests weren't right with God or the offer of the work was too much, some of the priests would sanctify themselves and they would go in and they would help with the offering. The priests had certain jobs that they did that nobody was allowed to do. And the high priest had one special job that nobody could do. And the high priest could only do it once a year when he'd go behind the curtain and enter the Holy of Holies, okay, on the Day of Atonement, take the blood of the atonement in. And so everybody had their own job and they knew what it was from birth, and so they were trained. Men, they were very able men. And we need to be trained. We need to allow God to use us. Ephesians chapter 4. I told the men this, so this would be redundant, but...
That's all right, brother. It's all good.
Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, we can see that the work of the Lord, the work of the New Testament church, there's two functions, two sides of it, if I may. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, we have these offices that God uses. And, well, there's no apostles. To be an apostle, anybody says they're an apostle, they don't know what they're talking about.
Amen.
You had to see Christ resurrected. Now, you're going to be pretty old if you saw Christ resurrected. Amen. So I don't think anybody's going to qualify for that. So that office is gone. But the others we have here, and they need to be put in their proper place. But the pastor is God's ordained man for the local church as the head of that. But he is not a ruler under himself. He serves under the headship of Jesus Christ. But he is to teach us. Because that, see, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. And as I told the men on Saturday, I don't even know, 26, 28 years of where I was full-time pastor or assistant pastor. You know what I need when I walk through that door on Sunday morning? I need to hear from the man of God. I need to be trained. I need to learn more. Nobody knows it all.
Amen.
Pastor Dawson be the first one to admit he doesn't know it all.
Amen.
We know, none of us do. We all need to be growing in the Lord. And so the church was given that we might have a Sunday school class and teachers to teach us. And then we might have a pastor to preach to us that we can grow in the Lord, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be very able men, fit for the ministry, fit for the work of the Lord. The second part is the ministry. As again, I mentioned, these men were of the tribe of Levi. And they were, stay in Ephesians there, don't flip back. They were born into service. These men, because of who your father was, that determined what you were going to do. Okay? Who's our father?
God.
God. Amen. So we were born into service. Right. When you got saved, you enlisted in an army, whether you knew it or not.
That's right.
But when you got saved, my friend, you didn't enlist in the quartermaster's corps.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the infantry.
Right.
And we need to be out on the front lines serving God any way we can, every way we can, as much as we can. These men were born into service by virtue of who their father was. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Folks, you got to understand something. We are in a battle.
Amen.
And the wicked one will use any means he can to get us sidetracked. To get, look, he wants your boxcar rusting on some forgotten side rail somewhere that Amtrak just goes by every day and you don't move and you don't do nothing for God. That's what he wants. And he will do any way, he'll do it any way he can, by hook or by crook. Folks, he's not honest.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
He's a politician.
Right.
He's a liar.
Amen.
And the father of lies.
That's right. That's right.
And he will do anything he can to get you out of the service of God.
That's right.
And let's look at Galatians 5:13. So we'll just back up a book. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And I don't know how many times I hear people, they talk about this verse. You know what they want to talk about? I've got liberty. This is what they think this verse is all about. And that is part of it. Christian liberty, we can go into all kinds of details about that later. But don't forget the last part. But by love, serve. But by love, serve. What? Serve. You were called to be a servant. When you got saved, you weren't called to be a master. You were called to be a servant. You weren't called to be a king. That position is already taken by Jesus Christ. You were called to be a servant unto the church, unto God's people. Very able servants in the house of God. John 14:13. I'm running out of time. We'll go ahead and turn there. Okay, amen. Preacher said I can go, so we're on. John 13 and verse number 14. And you'll recognize this when you see these verses here. And John 13, verse number 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do if I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Right.
We won't get into the issue of foot washing tonight. That could be another night for that. But let me tell you something. It was customary for people in those days when they were traveling, because everybody wore sandals. Most people walked. At best, you got to ride a donkey or something like that. Okay? And so your feet were dirty. They were hot. Imagine walking, 10, 12 miles every day. You walk out in the field and you plow. What are you doing? You're walking in that dirt. If you're a vendor in town, you're walking, always walk. You've come home at night. You know how good it feels just to take your shoes off and put your feet up in the air? Okay. Well, that's the equivalent here. When you would go and be a guest in somebody's house, a servant would bring a bowl and your feet could be washed and it would refresh you. It would make you feel better. And Jesus Christ stooped. literally, because he to wash somebody's feet, you know what he had to do? Jesus Christ stooped at the feet of sinful men and washed their hot, smelly feet. And he says, if I can do that, you can serve too. And so we were called to be servants. We were called to be servants. Folks, let me tell you something. The great, I don't want to say mystery, but it sometimes it's forgotten by people, is that the only way to be happy in God's service is to be a servant.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? God wants his people serving. And the servant is to be busy servant, serving. Happy people are serving people. Grumpy people are the ones just sitting on the sidelines. You know who complains most about the temperature in the auditorium? The people that aren't doing anything for God. How do you know that? I got almost 30 years experience. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. The people who don't serve God are the ones who are going to complain the most about the temperature. Oh, let us have, oh, heaven forbid, preacher, we're having a potluck dinner and we run out of food. Now, that is sad, I grant it, all right? But you know who's going to complain the most? People that didn't bring anything, the people sitting on the sidelines, okay? You'll see pastor, you see other men stand back and not get anything and not say a word about it. If you want to be happy in God's service, you need to be busy in God's service.
Right.
It doesn't work. It just does. That's just the way the world works, okay? You know what this is called? A pin. You know what this is? Gravity. You know how many times this pin's going to drop if I let go? Every single time. And sometimes I won't catch it. And it is going to happen that way because that's the way the world works. And the way the church works is busy people are happy people. And so if we'd get busy in the Lord, we'd be a lot happier. We are to be trained. Say, don't let the lack of training or lack of skills discourage you. We have something called on-the-job training, OJT, okay? Go soul winning. Brother White, if a man wanted to go with you Saturday, could he go? And all you have to do is this. That's it. Just smile. Pray silently. And you don't have to say anything. And you can learn, listen to him, an experienced soul winner, and you can learn more about this as time goes on. Eventually, you'll get to do that. But we are to be trained in the church, and then the church is a place of service. When we are trained, we're supposed to put our training to work. Okay? Now, these people knew they had a calling from God, and they were born into service. And by virtue of our salvation experience, we are born into service. And let me tell you this, you'll never be more Christ-like than when you're serving. Look, I'm for tithing. I'm for giving to missions. I'm for prayer off the way. I'm for public prayer, don't misunderstand me, but for private prayer where people don't know that you're praying. I'm for Bible study. I'm for education. I'm for all that. But you'll never be more Christ-like. Now, don't take it because I have a cold. But when you give a drink of water in the name of Christ to a brother in Christ, by service is how we prove our love. Jesus said, if ye know these, happy are ye if ye know these things. We need to know and do these things in order to be happy in the Lord. We are called to be co-laborers with Christ. And what a privilege it is to partner with God. Say, but nobody sees me working. So what?
Amen.
God knows. And who are you doing it for anyways?
That's right.
I shared with Brother Tom, just met him when we were talking earlier, and there's a statement I use from time to time. It's amazing how much work can get done if you don't care who gets the credit.
Amen.
Now, you men have been in the military or in an office, and you finally completed a project, and everybody in Valdinet signs on that, okay? Everybody gets their name on that paper somehow. Isn't it amazing how people run to get their name on that? They haven't lifted one finger to do a thing on that, but their name's going on that. See, they care about being seen. We care about serving him.
That's right.
Amen. And what a privilege to partner with God. Now, not only did they have a calling from God, but their calling was unto God. Now, the second part, did I go over that? I think I just went into it without mentioning it. About the ministry. Everybody should have a ministry. Everybody ought to be involved in something here at church, okay? We need the nursery workers as much as we need the pastor.
Amen.
Believe me, I've tried pastoring. I tried preaching with two or three crying babies in the service. We need them. Now, some of you may never preach from behind the pulpit. Thank God I don't have to change a diaper Somebody say hallelujah, praise God, amen. I'd never have to change a diaper. That's enough to get you happy feet, amen. Amen. But let me tell you something. That is an important job.
That's right. That's right.
But then so is the people who bring out the cookies and the stuff. By the way, Sunday, whoever did that, thank you. I noticed a slight increase in the serving size. I appreciate that, amen. So I like that. But everything we do should be for God's glory. And the job may not get you a lot of notoriety, but if it helps the work, it's important.
That's right.
Sunday school, that's a ministry. But your job is more than a ministry. It's also a mission for God. You have maybe you're talented. Unlike me, you can sing or play the piano, or maybe you teach, or maybe you do the patch club, or whatever it is, you work in a ministry. When you walk out of that service, whatever time that is that you're done, your mission does not end. Because truly our mission is to be worldwide, all-consuming. The church is to win souls, and then we're to train them to be soul winners, and they're to train the next generation and the next generation. And it starts here in Tucson for us, but then it spreads to Pima County, and then it goes statewide, and then it goes down to Mexico and up to Canada, and then around the world. We have a worldwide ministry. We should. And it should be 24/7. If you go on vacation, you know what you should be doing on Sunday morning? Going to church.
Amen.
And if you get opportunity, invite somebody from the hotel to go to that church with you.
Amen.
Oh, we're never going to benefit from, they will never tithe at Shining Light Baptist Church if they get saved in Los Angeles.
That's right.
So what? God knows.
That's right. Amen.
That's all that matters. And they have a soul, and Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. This freaks some people out, but do you know that Jesus Christ died for Charles Manson and Adolf Hitler? What a couple of monsters. But he died for them just as much as he died for you. Now, they made their choice. They're enduring their eternity now. But the thing of it is, the mission doesn't stop on Sunday when Sunday school or church is over. It continues. We need our private devotions, absolutely. But we also, on a daily basis, but we also need to be looking for ways, always looking for some way to get a witness in, to give a tract to somebody, to present the gospel to somebody. And it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're on a business trip and you're in Colorado, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you need to be busy about God's worldwide missions. That's the ministry. Missions. Missions is our mission. We're to reach the world for Christ. So we should always be looking for ways to further the work of God at all times. The church was designed for two main purposes. To edify believers, that's to build us up in the faith. To teach us, to equip us to be very able men for the work of the house of God. And then to reach the lost. Now what do we do with those lost ones once we reach them? We bring them into the church.
Amen.
To train them to become soul winners, to go back and reach their families and to reach other people for God.
Amen.
Folks, like it or not, you signed up for a job that's going to last a lifetime.
Amen.
Serving God. Now, we may not, again, don't let the fear of not being trained stop you. You just get started tonight. I like, you enjoy sports, Babe Ruth. Okay, I love reading some of the stories about Babe Ruth. And here's what's his saying. He had a famous saying. It says, never let the fear of striking out get in your way.
Amen.
You know why? And then he added, every strike brings me closer to the next home run.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So don't, just because you don't know how to do something, don't worry about it. Get with pastor, get some training, okay? Take that discipleship program. Get some training. And then get busy serving God and trust God. Try something big for God. You can start out small. It doesn't matter. Try something for God. Just try anything for God. No matter how small it might seem in your eyes, it's big to God.
Amen.
Okay. I told them in this, Shining Light Baptist Church ought to be the friendliest church in Sierra Vista.
Amen.
But Tucson. I'm, at least I'm getting when I knock on the door. I don't say, hi, I'm Pastor Holmes from Mount Vista Baptist. I get to Mountain, then, oh, yeah, shining light. I mean shining light. So I'm getting better about that. But here in Tucson, this ought to be the friendliest church. But more important than being friendly, which is important, we need to be a friend. There's a difference. The visitors, when they walk in, they need a warm smile and a handshake. They need friendliness. But what they really need is a friend. If you have the wherewithal, and it's appropriate, I wouldn't recommend a lady does this if a guy comes in, but you can take a visitor out to lunch. You're going to eat anyway, aren't you? So take somebody with you. Talk about the things of God. Talk about the church. Okay, be a friend. Somebody said that nobody is really locked into a church until they have their names written down on at least 6 refrigerator doors. Think about that. Contacts, people in the church. Okay, today in 6 cell contacts. Okay. They're not really locked in until they have that many people that they have their phone number and can call, and they're there for them, and we'll listen to them and help them out as best they can. So start with the discipleship program. If you're not saved, see preacher afterward. Let's get saved, and let's get busy as very able men. That applies to you women, too, and to the boys. As the men of God, as the people of God, let's get busy. Find a ministry to work here in the church, but don't let it stop there. Our whole life should be a mission to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher?
Well, amen. We got to hear the condensed version on Saturday. We got the amplified version
today.
And, praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Neil. I appreciate that. He's got years of experience in this area.